Welcome to Truth with Tara. I'm Tara Simon, and today I have the distinct honor and privilege of having the Cimarelli sisters with me today. We've got Amy, Lauren, Catherine, and Christina. Hi, girls.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited, and I know that I have a lot of Sim fams on my channel, so this is going to be a huge treat for them.
Oh, amazing.
So we're going to get right into it. I have some questions that actually a lot of my fans who are also fans of yours asked me to ask you. So let's just get right into it, okay? Can you tell me about how you guys first formed the group? For those of my listeners who may not be that familiar with you, how did it all get started?
Well, we're all sisters, if you didn't know that. I'm the oldest. I guess we'd say our ages. I'm 32.
I'm 31.
I'm 27.
And I'm 24.
And we are missing one sister who's in between her and her on the end, which is Lisa, and she's 29. Oh, she's turning 30 this year. Oh my gosh.
Is.
Okay, Lisa's 29. Wow. Lisa is unfortunately supporting her husband through cancer treatment right now. So that is why she's not with us right now. Please say a prayer for their family. We appreciate that so much. But so yeah, we are all sisters, and we also have five brothers as well, so 11 children, all from the same family. It's a big Catholic family. It's pretty crazy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And your mom's name is what?
Lynn.
Lynn?
Yes.
I'm talking to you right now. Woman, you are a saint.
Yeah,
11.
She is wild. So, yes, she birthed and raised 11 children. And she's like where this all comes from, I would say. Mm-hmm. She's a pianist. She has a master's degree in music with a, what is it?
Concentration
yeah. in piano performance. And she taught us all piano and singing and everything from a young age. And she was actually saying we should make a band for a long time. And she kept telling me that. And I was like, that is not a good idea. I don't know why. I thought it was a dumb idea. Like, what? So she's like, you should really do one with your sisters. And I was like, no. And she's like, okay. So then at some point, I tried like having bands with different friends. I like really wanted a band so badly.
Okay.
I don't know why. Well, I mean, that ended up being my career. So yes, I know why. So anyway, it didn't work out with any friends. And then at some point I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it a try with these rats and see what happens. So, you know, we tried as sisters, and we had, she like booked us a gig basically through like a church event thing.
Okay.
And was like, okay, do you guys want to play this?
And we were how old at this point?
We were like teenagers. I think I was 17. So 17 down through however old, 8 years younger than
nine.
Me? 17 through nine.
Very young.
Wow.
Yeah, we were 17 through
and
nine.
And also, giving a little background too, we our mom started a children's choir at our church. That was like where we first started singing. And we also did like musical theater for a lot of years. So we had a, like different types of like just local performances. I feel like that was sort of where that led into.
I think choir is like our biggest background as far as singing goes. It's like church choir, classical choir music. That's our biggest musical background. And then for piano, it was classical and then just like playing, I don't know, songs from the radio. But it's more of a classical background. But then we didn't keep doing lessons forever. So then it was just like a self-taught stuff, whatever. So anyway, we did that. She like booked us this thing and we're like, okay, let's try to learn this. And our brother, my older brother, but he's my only older sibling. He's 34. He's a year and a half older than me. We're all very close in age. And he actually played with us at the time, guitar. So he like used to be a part of the band actually for a bit, but it was always kind of like in and out because it was always more girly with five girls, as you can imagine.
Sure. Mm-hmm. He's grossly outnumbered.
Yes. Yes. So he didn't end up staying in the band forever, obviously. But yeah, anyway, we started playing stuff together and like playing state fairs and stuff like that. This is back in 2007. So we're all teenagers or children. And then after a bit of time, that's how we became a band. And then after a bit of time, we ended up taking off on YouTube and then getting signed. But originally it was just us.
Okay, yeah.
So that's how we got started. That's our background before YouTube and before anything like that.
You just mentioned something interesting to me. You mentioned LA getting signed. It was Universal, if my memory serves me, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so tell me some stories. I mean, I've been to LA. It's not my cup of tea, but it is a crazy and wondrous place.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, who wants to answer this? Tell me about your experience in LA and in Universal. I see Amy and Lauren really snickering over there. So what?
There was just so,
spill some tea. Tell me what stories you've got about that.
Yeah, I'm like, what do we share? But there are so many random stories, and we were there for 5 years, and we, there's a lot to share.
We were all like super young when we started doing it. Especially you were like, what, 11?
Yeah.
Like, we were very young to be entering that world for sure.
How many old men tried to hug you as an 11-year-old? Let's start there.
They love to hug.
Okay, that is something that I didn't think about, but the creepiness of old men in LA is so, towards young girls, is so normalized.
It felt normal.
You become like numb to it. I have one illustration to give. When we moved to LA, we were all like these young, you know, bopping teenager kids. And we drove into LA, literally listening to Party in the USA.
Oh, yeah. That was our vibe.
We were like, yeah, this is so exciting. Oh, we're following our dreams. And then at the end of it, Christina was like, should I become a real estate agent?
Like, by the time we finished LA.
After being there for 5 years. So that kind of shows you like a contrast of like how we start, how we went into it, and then how we like left, kind of like fled to Nashville.
It was
rough.
What do we even say? Okay, so.
But there was a lot of good things too. It was a roller coaster.
I feel like that would be the funniest TikTok ever, by the way. How it's going.
How it started.
Party in the USA, and then how it's going now. I should be a real estate agent.
That would be a good TikTok. But so, okay, so before then, we took off on YouTube. We ended up getting signed with Universal, and we moved to LA. So this was 2010. And we didn't know anything about the industry or LA. We were in Northern California. So we moved down the state to Southern California. We didn't have any connections to the industry. We were just very
green.
Yeah, very green, very out of our element. It was very odd. And yeah, what do we even say? We met with like every big like label and company you can think of, I would say. Yeah. Big one you can think of. We met with them.
And we were dreaming of, like, our dream was to be on Disney. Like, we loved the Jonas Brothers, Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato. Yeah.
We met with Disney.
I think we had a very idealized picture of, like, what that would be like.
Yeah.
We just saw it from the outside as, like, kids in Northern California.
When we actually had our meeting with them, though, when we left, we were like, that was not the vibe that we thought
How
it would
so?
Be.
Yeah, when we auditioned, I guess, at Disney, and it was like, I feel like every adult there, that's kind of rude, but I'm just going to be honest. They looked like they had just attended a funeral. They were just staring at us like, you suck, you suck, you suck. Like, it was just like, and we were like little, like kids. And I feel like they just kind of looked at us like, okay, I'm so bored. I'm unimpressed. Like, it was just like very, that. I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Really, really discouraged.
I remember the vibe in the whole, I remember the whole vibe in the whole building. I was expecting, you know, like, life's what you make. I don't know. I was expecting it was going to be this fun vibe because it was Disney. But then it was not. It was this like sterile, like weird vibe. I don't know how to describe it, but it was not a fun vibe. And it was not what I had this whole dream. That was like the biggest built up dream we'd had for years. So when we finally were at Disney in this like huge meeting that I was like, oh my gosh, this is like this huge casting director who cast all these huge things that we're like such fans of.
Yeah,
I forgot her name, but she was like really, I don't want to say her name.
She seemed really
I don't want to say her name, but she was
looking at the table and everyone looked like very bored and like,
we knew
she seemed really nice.
We knew exactly who she was, which was interesting.
We want to sing for her.
We were like freaking out that we got to sing for her. And yeah, when this huge dream built up, we finally go in there. I'm just like, this is not what I was expecting. This is not really fun. This is weird. Oh, and then that guy.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next memory that I have, it's kind of like, you know, you like black out things that are kind of like not the best memories. I remember us being at some cafe outside of, was this at Disney or where were we?
It was the Disney building in like the lobby.
Yeah, we were in the lobby of the Disney building, and I remember we were having a meeting with some higher up guy.
Who was?
And he said to us as kids who just got there, like, so you guys know the band Matchbox 20? He was like, does anyone remember any of their names? And then except for Rob Thomas, the lead singer. And he was like, exactly. You guys need to pick a lead singer. Like, you shouldn't have all of you guys singing leads because no one's going to remember, like, all of you, basically. It's like, you need to it's like, first of all,
we're like, we are not 80 years old, whatever your name is.
It's like, if you're trying to inspire people to, like, pick a lead singer, why would you literally say, because none of you are going to be remembered.
Not a good inspirational speech.
One of you can be remembered, not the rest of you.
And he was working with this girl band at the time. I don't want to say who they were either, but he was working with them, and then, and like, that was like his thing. Like, I'm working with this girl band. And by the way, they even ended up not working out and disbanding not that long after. So I don't know how great his advice was. But anyway, I remember that. He was telling us we need to stop giving all of us leads. And I remember we were scrambling to think of a band who where everyone got leads, and we thought of the Backstreet Boys.
Yes!
They all sing lead, and they have all these harmonies. They became a big inspiration for us after that, particularly because I was like, we had to start coming up with like evidence to support our case against all of these executives, because it was pretty wild. So I was 19 at that point. I was 20, 21. I was very young, and I'm the oldest. I'm the leader of all of us. And so I was the one who would speak up in meetings most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time, really. Yeah. And it was just me up against these men who were twice my age most of the time, sometimes more than twice my age.
Two and a half times.
It was very intimidating, trying to like stand up for what we wanted to do and why we thought we should do it, why we should be able to do it. So we had to start gathering evidence, like Backstreet Boys or whatever it was.
We're like, we know this can work. Like, it has worked before. We had to like prove to ourselves that we could all like be like do the leads. But also, too, I also want to say, like, we did have a lot of really discouraging moments like that. But we also had, like, some really cool moments. Yes. Like, there were a lot of moments, like, we went to, like, the Justin Bieber movie premiere. And I remember, like, we got an email that morning from our label, like, oh, do you guys want to go to this? And we were so excited. We ran to the mall. We got all these outfits. Like, I think we all, was it, like, purple? Because of the
carpet. We did, like, a purple.
Yeah, they were doing, like, a purple carpet
theme.
So we did, yeah, like, a purpley theme. And, like, there were some moments where it truly felt like, wow, our dream has come true, like working with these really big names and like producers and songwriters, and we did like learn so much. But I don't know, do you think the good outweighed the bad?
I mean, the value of those experiences, it was incredibly valuable. All the experiences, we learned so much from our experience, but if we hadn't gotten out of there, I think it would have destroyed us.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that we got out of there.
Yeah. Mm. From the outside, like, because Northern California is, like, nothing like Southern California. So, like, even though it's the same state, it might as well be another planet.
Yes.
It's like, huge. Yeah.
Knowing things about the music industry, like, we had people that we, like, knew who they were because we, like, looked them up online, kind of. Like, we had no clue what it actually was like. And now there's a lot better and a lot larger of a window into it from how much the internet has grown and how much people have started, like, speaking out against stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, we literally had no idea. Like, people we were, like, dying to work with, and we were like, oh, if we could only work with them, like, that would make our whole career and all this stuff. Like, they ended up being, like, crazy or, like, really bad or all these different things.
Or having allegations of
very many allegations.
Essay or anything else like that that we worked with as young teens, children.
Yeah, we encountered several people like that we worked with that ended up it came to light later that they were like predators.
But we were always traveling in a pack.
Yeah, so we
with
were
at least God one of our parents, that. So we were very like safe.
Yeah,
thank God we never had anything where someone actually ever did anything. But we came in contact with at least a few, if not several, I don't even know how many more.
Many.
Men who later had allegations come out against them, which is very disturbing when I think of the fact that
we were young girls.
Most of them were minors. I mean, I was only like 20.
We had chicken legs.
Yeah. It's very disturbing to think about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And unfortunately, your story is the same as mine in that regard. It is the same as so many other, if not most other women and boys in the music
that's
industry.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it really is. And unfortunately, I mean, you guys have been pretty open, as am I, about faith as well. And sometimes that can save you because it sort of puts you as even more of an off limits, or there's just one more line of friction, because there's this assumption that there's a higher moral standard and you're not willing to do just anything. Mm-hmm. But how has faith impacted your career thus far? And maybe even in LA, you know, did you feel like a fish out of water? Did you feel like you were being asked to compromise? What's your sweet spot now in regards to expressing your faith in music as well?
Well, I think that one of the biggest things that our faith impacted was, like, I feel like we literally could not handle being in the LA pop industry. We were there for 5 years and we were just like, this is like crushing our souls, because it felt like we were trying to swim upstream of this very powerful current that we didn't want to go with. We were kind of going against. And that was what like brought us to where we are now, which is living in Nashville. like we ended up leaving our label, becoming independent artists, which was really scary and a huge risk to be like, okay, these like very powerful executives have been, you know, backing us and behind us, right, and like working with us for 5 years. And now it's like, we are just basically taking on our own business as young women being on like entrepreneurs, like, and we were what in our young 20s when we like young 20s and teens, yes, when we, yeah, left. Wow. So it was a, wow, huge risk, but honestly, like, I feel like for us, not just professionally, but personally, coming to Nashville, a place where faith is like a lot more acceptable.
Sure.
It's still very artistic and there's, you know, yeah, a lot of resources for artists, but we could, I feel like we could actually be ourselves. And we noticed these big differences, like even going into like recording sessions, like the producers, a lot of them had like families and they valued family time. Like, mm, we weren't doing sessions like people expected you to go like late into the night. Like that was something in LA. Like I remember my mom having to be like, okay, like we're not going to stay here till 1 a.m. Like these are like children and teenagers.
Okay, that, right, was a big difference. Right. The sessions in I forgot about this. Okay, the sessions in Nashville, oftentimes they'd be like, let's start with the prayer, which we were like, what?
Yeah.
Start, aww, with the prayer? No, yeah, one has, I love ever, that, ever said that. And it would be like, okay, yeah, they'd talk about their family, it'd be at a reasonable time of the day. In LA, first of all, they'd want to start them late, which is weird, yeah, because it's like the youngest at the time was
12, 11.
You guys were, Lauren and Danny were children.
Like, I mean, basically out of diapers, too, right? You know,
I was like 15.
Yeah, they're children. And so we go into these studios and, you know, there would be like rappers like right next door or whatever down the hall, or they had just been there and left. They had just, right, been in the studio we were in. So it was just like filled with the smell of weed, like,
smell,
very, very, yep, strong for a little, yep, children, God, to walk into.
For kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, remember how strong that was?
It was very much a strong
smell. We'd
walk
in and be like, ah, interesting.
Honestly, the smell of weed reminds me of recording studio.
Yeah.
It
like, was, that's it, your nostalgia smell. That's your nostalgia smell. That is so sad. It's true. It's true. Yeah. I mean, I was in a session in Atlanta at one of the most prominent studios a couple years ago, recording Angelica Hale for her debut album. I was helping direct the sessions and arrange the vocals. And I literally had her hold her breath between the waiting room and the isolation vocal booth where, gosh, they wouldn't allow smoking because it was that thick. I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's very...
And it's kind of hard on your
big
lungs,
part, too, of most... well, yeah, it seemed like it was a really big part of most like songwriters and...
creative process.
Artists. Yeah. Artists, yeah, recording, yeah, or writing. It was just a big part of the studio. So it was weird, I think, for people to go into sessions with us and be like, oh, we're not going to be drinking or doing any drugs in these sessions, obviously. So that was different. And, yeah, I don't think that was the same. I know that's not the same for all teens. I think sometimes if it was like one young girl, you know, you've heard different stories where they would be illegally, yeah, doing, sure, drugs, drinking, whatever it is with...
older men,
producer, yeah, writer, yeah, older man who's, you know,
yeah,
pushing that on her. Luckily it didn't happen to us, luckily,
right?
Yeah,
but yeah,
I personally think a lot and obviously too much is done and justified in the name of artistic expression.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I know I didn't talk about this getting to know you guys before we started recording, but I'm just sick about what's going on with the Grammys and what's going on with like the televised artistic representation of music for the past while now, but like just what is allowed to be justified in the name of art is just breaking my heart, and I know breaks the heart of the Lord as well. Lauren, I want to get your thoughts on that because you're super quiet, but I feel like you reacted strongly to that.
I feel like people are starting now to really talk about that more, of kind of like,
which is awesome,
this like demonic visual like, yeah, inspiration that a lot of artists use. But for me, I feel like I've noticed that for so long, mm-hmm, that I'm just like, I don't know, I kind of just accepted that that's just like, I don't know why, it seems like every single artist like goes down that path at some point. It's just like, yeah, oh, visually
inspired,
it's
by
like
demons,
like trying to, yeah, be shocking or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
yes,
but it's,
yeah, is that intentional because, yeah, they want to like spark outrage from a certain group of people? I don't know.
I don't,
maybe,
know. I don't know,
they're using it as like a
I don't know either. PR, I just, what I feel though is I'm noticing a pattern that it's pretty much like exclusive to Christianity. You don't see like upside down Buddhas. You see upside down crosses. You see artists that are hanging on crosses. You see upside down crosses. You see artists dressed like devils. You don't see them dressed like anything else. And I just don't understand, because I feel personally that if you were to call out subliminally or visually, like they're doing, other religions or sects or even preferences nowadays, that would be immediately canceled. You would be called a bigot, a hater. You'd be called misogynistic for a certain thing. And yet Christianity and the symbol of Christianity is being essentially illegitimized visually by artists, and it's being bastardized. And I feel so strongly about it. And I really feel that podcasts like this and conversations like this and artists like you guys are so important, because I think Christian music has done a really bad job in the past, I don't know, 20, 30 years, as long as I've been around to listen to it, of being sonically relevant. And I feel that because Christian music is seen as sort of like the thing that plays in Christian soccer moms' cars, it's not cool. Nobody wants to listen to it. Either that or it's cool for church, but it's not cool anywhere outside of Sunday. And it's not competing with the sonically undeniable hits that people are listening to. And they're like, oh, I'm just listening to it for the beat. It's just so great. And yet the words and the subliminal intentions are seeping into their souls and causing them to make decisions about their life and about themselves that are bringing death and not life, frankly. And one of my big reasons for existence on YouTube, on my channel, and for starting this podcast is to bring that up in the conversation and further expose as best as I can with my platform, artists that make sonically undeniable music. It's really good to listen to, right? It's got, you know, advanced and technical musical theory. It's got great arrangements. The harmonies are tight. The music is great. The writing is good. It's sonically undeniable good, but most importantly, it's life-giving. And it competes with that is out there so that there's at least an option, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm really grateful to you guys for being part of that conversation and part of that voice, because to me, it's a war, and it's one of the most important things that we can stand up against, because guys, I think you'll agree with me that music is at the center of everything. And mostly now, unfortunately, at the center of music is really evil stuff going on. So in order for there to be a really successful group, there has to be unity. I have a sister. I have no idea how you guys have managed to stay together this long without breaking up like 10 times. So you got to tell me the secret to your sisterhood and how you so beautifully weave family and sisterhood into this artistic expression called Cimarelli.
The secret is one word.
Therapy.
I was hoping you would get it.
We love therapy here.
I was wondering what you guys were going to say.
Yeah, we went.
That's
to
so good.
I knew you were going to say that.
We went to therapy as a group in what year was that?
2017, 16?
2017 or 16. We went to therapy as a group, and I would say that is the secret, because there was a lot of, what's the word? Contention? Is that the word?
Yeah.
Contention. Yeah. As sisters, you already have contention anyway.
Right.
You compare yourselves naturally to your older sister, especially. I would say it's like, am I measuring up to her or whatever? And then your younger sister's like, am I different from her or whatever? How do I, especially when you're the youngest, when the more older sisters you have, the more comparison I would say there is, like, oh, she already did this. She already did that. She already did this. So what am I supposed to do? Even though in reality, it doesn't really matter what your older sibling has done or hasn't done. You're your own unique individual, but it's a natural thing. So we had a lot of comparison just naturally. And then being on YouTube, the commenters on there really did a number on us, especially as young children, teens, young women. That was a lot to handle, having all those different comments comparing us, ranking us in order of talent, looks, all sorts of things, likability, stuff like that. That was very damaging.
And when we started on YouTube, not only, I know we've said a million times, we were so young, but also like the platform and doing covers was very young. Like,
yeah,
that was a very new thing. And there wasn't this handbook that I feel like a lot more people kind of know now. Maybe don't read the comments, you know, especially if you're feeling mentally fragile.
Turn them off.
Or don't put kids online. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I don't think
they
should.
Well, you were a kid. You were like 16, 17, 18.
I was 19.
Oh, okay.
I would not have said, yeah, we should have my sisters who are children online. I would not have said that now, but we didn't know that back then.
Wow.
That's a thing now that we think, like, you know, maybe kids shouldn't be online as a career when they're children. Having careers, people talk about that a lot now. That was not a conversation back then at all.
No,
because that wasn't really a career,
and it wasn't an option. Yeah,
that wasn't a thing.
Wow.
It wasn't a career. So looking back now, I'm like, I don't think we should have had the youngest girls online as children,
as 10-year-olds.
Wow.
Yeah, I think older teens probably, maybe, but that's still a lot. So thinking back on that, that's kind of, it's not really a regret because it's not like I could have known any better, and I'm not their mom either, but. It is. That's a weird thing. So anyway, with all that, I think that's a lot. It's very damaging. And so we had a lot of contention between us. It's like we always had close bonds with each other. So it's not like we were going to not talk to each other as sisters ever. I don't think I can think of, but more working together. We've always been close, like friends. But then it's been
Lauren and Amy. You guys were super the littlest, right? You guys were the littles.
We have one younger sister than Lauren.
Yeah.
Danny. And then more younger brothers.
Danny was the youngest in us for a long time. And I'm like the middle. So I was pretty young, but I wasn't like 10.
But Danny didn't start. Okay. The group started as the five of us, including Lisa.
Because Danny was literally 7 when it started.
And she didn't join until she was
10.
10. Which I, now I'm looking back. I'm like, her, you, probably even
and
you.
Wasn't that our, yeah.
It was way too young to be
I don't
online.
Think any of us had any idea at the time. Because you,
we
like,
did it.
Again, it's like with the Disney stuff. It's like from the outside looking in, it's just so fun. You get to sing with your siblings. Mm-hmm. You see the Jonas Brothers on stage having fun. And like, the dark side of it is really dark, but you don't see that.
And you see kids doing the entertainment industry all the time.
Yeah. And then later on, like, they say how traumatic it was and how horrible.
Okay. The childhood star, like trauma situation, that's very much, people are really speaking out about that now.
Yeah.
They were not speaking out about that much at
There's
that time.
There's no indication.
No.
There was like, people would talk like, oh, this childhood star went crazy or whatever, but they didn't talk about like, oh, what really happened to them? They just like, almost people like shamed them, like victim blamed them, like they were so
like
wild,
it was them.
Like they did something wrong. But in reality, it's like we've learned so much now about what they've had to experience from like their own parents maybe or from the industry. So we didn't think about all that stuff going in, obviously, because it didn't really exist. But then what would you say about like working together as sisters throughout the years, especially recently? I feel like we're in like our best place as sisters. We speak up
That's
a
awesome.
Lot more with each other.
Yeah.
I think we just had to learn like each other's personalities, boundaries, how to like make it work. Like it just, you have to know what you need and you have to say that to make it work.
That's
totally
very simple, but very true. That's exactly what it is.
Very
we didn't
true.
Know how to, we didn't know how to speak up for ourselves or how to even know what we needed.
Yeah.
Now we do.
Wow. That's very profound. Amy and Lauren, how did you cope and how did those comments make you feel being so young and so formidable?
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was 14 when our first video went viral.
So like very beginning of your teen,
I
all
was
of
like
your teen years.
I was a freshman.
Wow.
And I just remembered being like, all these people are seeing me. Some people are saying rude things about me.
They kept asking like, why you were short, which doesn't make sense.
I got some very strange comments about my body. I was like, okay, I don't know. I just have a body type. It's just how I am.
Very
but
disturbing.
Like, I also was so young that like, I don't really remember not having that kind of influence in my life of other people.
Yeah,
and
same.
Like, I don't know. It was extremely formative, I would say, because I was so young. Just like growing up, having everyone have a say in what you look like and how you are kind of thing. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it that much, actually.
I feel like it's hard to say because people are like, how did that affect you? I'm like, I don't know, because that just was my life. Like,
right.
I don't know what would have been different. Like, that's just how I was like, okay, this is the world for me.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's really valid. You have nothing to compare it to and no context.
Yeah. Just having a lot of opinions on you all the time. Like, I don't know if that made me really more self-conscious than anyone else, though. I feel like everyone is. Like, I don't know.
Mm. That's good perspective. Yeah. It makes sense. What are some of the proudest moments for you guys in your career? And maybe throw in some funniest moments, too.
Proudest? Okay. Off top of my head.
You're worth it. Yeah. You're worth it.
One of the biggest moments, proudest moments, best moments of our career is when we released our song, You're Worth It. That was a huge turning point for us.
Yeah.
This was when we had started to take charge of our career. We had been with our label for a while. We've been doing all these writing sessions with all these huge writers. It was just so crazy. Work with all these big names, but nothing was quite like working out. Our label wasn't happy with anything. And then I said, can we just fund a project ourselves and just release it ourselves if we just pay for it? And then we did. So I was like on the phone with all these people talking like, can we do this? Can we do that? It was pretty interesting. And we're like, let's do this song we've been writing called You're Worth It. Let's do this message song. We haven't done anything like this before. Let's try this and see what happens. And it was our first big message song about self-worth. And we're like, let's make this vulnerable video. Mm. I'd been watching and reading Brené Brown at the time.
I love her.
In the beginning of her career. Yeah. Shout out to Kath and then my brother Alex also for getting me on board with her. And she was talking about how she was really vulnerable before she talked about vulnerability for the first time on her TED Talk that went viral. So I was like, let's try to be like that and like try to be vulnerable and see what happens for like the You're Worth It video. And our You're Worth It video ended up going so well, and the song, and we did it in concert, and it was just a crazy experience. We had performed before that, and it was so different. When we did You're Worth It, it was like for the first time, we were having this like intense connection with our fans.
Yeah.
And even people who weren't our fans sometimes, people were crying. Sometimes people were bawling, and we were like, what is this that we have? So we could tell we were like, and the stories we would get from people, we could tell we were making a really big difference. And that was like, that was definitely one of the most proud moments for me.
Yeah.
What did you guys say?
I mean, kind of like very similar to that, but we also have a song. We have a couple of like anti-suicide, like mental health type songs. And one particular, One More Night, that song, I got many messages from people saying like, that they were struggling with mental health and they would just play that song all night long and just listen to it over and over in like really dark times. And some of those people, like I knew who they were, and they would literally come to our shows and be standing front row. And like, I would just like hug them in the song and like cry, and they would cry. Like, it's just one of those, I feel like that's a very, very interesting experience that's like hard to explain, but it's just like this like human connection that is very deep and like,
it's crazy.
I don't know. Very profound. It just made me think about like, like you were saying in the beginning of us performing, it was more just like fun, which there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like fun, colorful.
Right, sure.
We did these pop songs, like very upbeat, girly, like which is very fun. But when we added these messages, I just remember thinking, getting this feeling of like purpose. Like, this is what performing should be. Like that we're like actually impacting people's lives and can make something they can listen to that's like lifting them up. Like that kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier with music and where it's going. Like, I feel like music should be like, I don't know, it in a purposeful way, it can be like so beautiful and like lift your heart up. And like, which is what people in the world need. And that, to me, that's one of the proudest things, is that we've been able to like put out songs that we're able to do that for people. And I would say too, just like traveling a lot, like traveling throughout like the world. And like, we performed in Spain at the Coca-Cola Music Festival.
Sticks out.
How many people
is
like 10,000 people or something?
It was like 15,000
people. Or 15,000 people.
And like a lot of the people were singing along to our songs. And I was like,
what's
happening?
And they bought from little papers that said like, you gave me wings.
Yeah, that's magical.
So cool. Just like stuff like that. That was incredible. Touring that's in magical. General. Oh my gosh.
This is kind of a random thing. The most proud thing overall is that for me is that my children can watch like anything I've put on the internet, and I'm proud of it. I'm not like, oh no, don't look at that. Which, you know, people make mistakes. It's fine. That might happen to to plenty of people. And it's, you know, you make mistakes, you're younger, you learn, you live, you learn. But I, because I had my younger sisters and I was always thinking like, I don't want to do anything that would make, that would, you know, negative impact true. Them or like make, you know, them look down on me in a way. Like, right. I want to be a good role model. And I genuinely wanted that. It wasn't like a fake thing for me, which a lot of people in LA right. would ask us that. You know what? When we would meet with people, remember they would say,
yeah, they're like, is this real?
They would say, so this wholesome act, this isn't real, is it? Or they'd be like, you guys cannot. Just, you do, because, and we realized like that's a lot, what a lot of like younger stars at the time would do. Like, they would put on a wholesome like front, but then behind the scenes, they'd be like, yeah, that's not You're really. Like,
yes, I have a briefcase full of drugs right here.
Well, yeah, that's what they would do. Like, that's yes. what people did. So
where's
I
my
don't know
vodka?
About a briefcase, but you get what we're saying, right?
I don't know what people yeah. expect you to say to that. It, like, that's such a weird question to ask.
Well, I think probably a lot of kids were like, no, I'm not like that. Like, they were that's embarrassed like, about it.
Right.
But
right.
we were not, I don't know. I thought that was interesting, but I, me as the leader, like, I genuinely really wanted to be that, like, for my younger siblings and for like any anyone out there who's like looking up to me. So it's really cool for me that my children can watch all the stuff I've done and yeah. I'm like proud of it. That's like my most mm-hmm. proud, like, full circle moment for me. Any other proud Absolutely. Moments you guys want to mention?
Well, I mean, I agree with what they were saying on like those songs and that performance in Spain specifically. That's the first thing I thought of when you said that. But I think a standout moment was when we went to China and performed on this like Chinese like game show thing.
Oh, it was
wild.
It
was just a very strange,
very surreal
whirlwind trip.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Definitely a fever dream.
It was just very interesting.
Well, we wow. arrived at the set at like 8 a.m. and I think we were there till 1 a.m.
Yeah. I do gives not you an remember. I can't even like.
And we had no food. We were like, please. Give me
no
I don't
that
remember
whole
that
time?
Trip like at all. I think because I was so jet lagged, I can't remember.
It was fun, but it was just really like crazy.
It was one of the wildest things we've definitely ever done.
Wow, I need to see footage of that. I'm gonna go look that up after we're
done.
Oh,
it's on YouTube.
Oh, it is.
Definitely
oh,
find
I will
it.
Say, this isn't a career moment, but this is something I would have never experienced if it hadn't been for our career. And you guys remember this? We went to the Philippines and we had
oh,
these like
love
tour guides who are awesome.
Oh, that was so
and they took
fun.
Us all over the Philippines and they took us up this mountain and we ziplined on the
yes,
side of it.
Yes, that was so
that
fun.
It was really terrifying. Fun. Wow. But it was, I'm so scared of heights, but that was amazing.
You did it though.
Would probably say when we did our song last year, Kills Me Just the Same.
Oh.
That song is just so impactful. And like, it's, I don't know, Lawrence did such a great job in the production.
Thank you.
The video.
And the video, we put so much into everything. Like, I don't know, that is one of the most proud moments for me. Because I was like, this is just so incredible. And we did it all ourselves.
Wow. And I love how each of you actually has your own strengths. And you guys are so great to each other to allow to play to the strengths of the other, you know. And I mm-hmm. and Lauren, your Little Miss producer, and you know, the arrangements and just even just I've noticed when I react to you guys, I love how each vocalist is given the space for their own voice and their own sound to come out. And yet then when you harmonize cohesively together, because you're siblings, there is this through line of a similar timbre and texture no matter how different your voices really are, that somehow when you sing harmony, like, ties you all together. Like, as a vocal coach, I just find that super magical to hear
oh,
you all individually
thank you.
So different.
Thanks.
And, yeah, harmonically, it's like, oh my gosh, but you can tell they're sisters now. It's just, it's really cool. It's really cool to hear. And okay, I have one more question for you guys. This is for everybody watching, right? Like, we have the number one most dreamed of career to have for children coming up in this age is to become a YouTuber.
Whoa.
Can you believe it?
That's crazy.
Interesting.
Yes. Statistics show. Look it up. It's terrifying to me, actually, that's the number one desired and dreamed of career. So as YouTubers and as YouTubers who have made a career out of your dream, which is singing, which is like the penultimate, the pinnacle, the best it can be for you guys, for those girls and boys watching, and maybe even young adults too, dreaming of doing what you're doing right now, what do you have to say to them?
Should we each say one thing? I have one thing to say.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll each say one thing. I think one of the most important things, we talk about this a lot, is being very authentic with finding your authentic voice, style, everything that's you. We don't need a copy of someone else. We need what you have to offer. And you can be inspired by so many different things, but like find the different things that you love, put them together into this unique thing that is you. You don't need to be a second-rate version of something else. You don't need to chase the trends. You should really look for something, feel something, find something that is different, that's very authentic and unique to you. And go with that. Don't try to be someone else. What would you
love
say?
That so much. Thank you, Christina.
I would like to quote Ed Sheeran himself. That's right. I'm not trying to be negative, but I am doing a cautionary thing that, again, I feel like I've said this a bunch of times in this interview, but like things can look different than they are on the inside from the outside.
Yeah.
So in the words of Ed Sheeran himself, he says in his song, "I think money is the root of all evil and fame is hell." So I know that might sound really like dramatic, but I just want to say, like, I think a lot of people are seeking fame because they're like searching for something. And I do think it is amazing to be a YouTuber, to be a singer, to be an artist. Like, I think it's incredible and the world needs artists. Like, it's definitely a worthy pursuit. But I do think that if you go into it thinking it's going to like fill up your whole cup, it's not going in for the right reasons and it's not going to be satisfying. Like, faith in God, relationships, like a good life outside of it is like extremely important. So just like, obviously career is great and career is important, but also like invest in those other things because that will keep you grounded.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Catherine, words of such wisdom. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. And we need more people like you saying things like that. Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, my first thought was don't do it. But yeah, I think my elaboration on that is don't do it unless you like eat, sleep, and breathe music, because making that your career puts so much pressure on it. It's so easy to like lose your integrity, lose your artistry, like just lose a lot of like that magic that you have right now of making music. I guess that's really what I'm saying. It's like, don't, if you're going to pursue it, like, don't lose that, what you have right now, because of the pressure of like making your career. And if trying to make your career is making you lose that, then maybe you shouldn't do that, because it's not worth that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Don't lose the magic.
I agree with you.
I would say that I agree with Lauren, for sure. And I would say that if this is something you're really passionate about and really want to do and pursue, then just 100% go for it and don't stop. That is the wild thing about the internet nowadays, is like, you're only one video away from a breakthrough every single day. Yeah. Like, at any moment, you're only one video away. You're only one content piece away. So just keep going until you get that piece. Mm,
love it.
And also, I would like to note that I normally don't sound like this. I just have, like, some sort of sinus infection thing going on. So just pretend that I sound better.
Okay.
I know what you sound like normally, Amy. And thank you so much for being on. Even through sickness, you are a trooper.
I'm here for you, honey.
You guys are precious, and I'm so grateful to just even get to spend some time with you girls, get to know you. What you've accomplished together is something that not even a lot of people can accomplish alone. And maybe that is part of your superpower and your secret strength, is that better togetherness. How you've done it with even with therapy and still have a good relationship is beyond me, but I'm very, very happy for you guys. And I'm really excited to see what God does in your career. I pray blessings over you guys. I pray great success and that your latter be greater than your past, because I truly believe that sonically undeniable music with life-giving and integrity into the lyrics is how we turn this music thing around. And so I encourage you guys, keep going, keep pressing on, and just keep shining your light, because there is a lot of darkness, but you know that the greater the darkness, how much greater is the light.
Mm, love that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. And I want to say thank you for your videos that you did on us.
Yes.
We've seen all of them, I think, that you've done on us. And it was really nice to see, like, you give like some, you know, constructive like feedback, which was really cool, and point out things we didn't even realize. But it was all very like uplifting and encouraging.
Yeah.
And
I
thought that was really cool. So I want to say thank you for
that.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. And yeah, I really do try to, you know, I don't want to be disingenuous and only say everything's great, because that's just not the truth of how many people do you react to. Something's bound to it's, and music is so personal, you know. And so, you know, I want to be genuine and truly say what I feel, but I do feel that there's so much negativity, and who am I really to be the judge and jury over someone else who's trying to sing too? I mean, when I get in the vocal booth, I'm not perfect. There needs to be comping, you know? And so I just remember that as a singer. And I really wish that there was a lot more weight on the positivity side on YouTube reactions in general, because I feel that we don't have the right to rip people apart. Go do that yourself first before you, and make it perfect before you go and say things about someone else who's actually doing it, you know? So
my gosh.
Yeah. So next thing I'm going to speak into existence is a collab. So you pick the song, you let me know, I'll come to Tennessee.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do a collab. Let's do it.
All right, I'll have your people call my people. We'll do lunch,
all right,
you know?
We'll do a collab. We never collab, and we want to collab a lot more. That's one of our goals recently, so we'd love to collab.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I was halfway kidding, but I'm not kidding anymore.
No,
we're going to collab.
Let's collab.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'm open to it.
Guys, you heard it here. We're going to collab with Cimarelli.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for being on today, guys. And the next time you hear me with Cimarelli, we'll be singing together.
Yeah.
We will.
Bye, guys.
See you
next time. Bye.